Good afternoon, everyone. If you can take your seats, we will call the meeting to order. Cheryl, would you please call the roll?
Chair McKeel?
Here.
Vice Chair Christofoli?
Here.
Representatives Albritton?
Here.
Baxley?
Here.
Coley?
Here.
Corcoran?
Here.
Cruz?
Here.
Frezen? Forward?
Here.
Gibbons?
Here.
Gonzalez?
Here.
Grant? Hooper?
Here.
Hudson?
Here.
Ingram?
Here.
Jones?
Here.
McBurney?
Here.
O'Toole?
Here.
Pafford?
Here.
Patronus?
Here.
Rogers?
Here.
Roussan?
Here.
Stafford? Excused. Stube? Thurston?
Here.
Williams?
Here.
Young? Excused. You have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thanks very much. Good afternoon, everyone. We have two bills and a PCB on the agenda today. Representative Adkins has to also present in another committee, so if you're ready, Representative Adkins, you are welcome to come forward and present committee substitute for House Bill 173 by the Choice and Innovation Committee and relative to juvenile justice education programs. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 173 should look familiar to you. It passed out of this committee unanimously last year. It also passed unanimously out of its other two committees, as well as unanimous off the House floor. So, members, this is a very good bill. It sets out to better prepare individuals in state care to live more productive lives once they reintegrate back into society after being released from custody. Specifically, it enhances the career and technical training by requiring residential programs with a longer length of stay to offer career and technical education courses that lead to vocational credentials or industry certifications. And that's the bill, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thanks so much, Representative Adkins. Having presented the bill, members, do anyone have a question of the bill sponsor? All right. Seeing none, got some folks who've turned in cards to speak on the bill. Kathy Craig Myers, Florida Juvenile Justice Association. All right, thanks very much. Lisa Hurley with the Florida Association of Counties. All right, thanks, Lisa. Mr. Pitts, Justice of Jesus, you're welcome. Welcome, you're recognized, sir.
Prophet, Justice of Jesus, yes, I remember this bill last session. Oh, it's no question. It's no question. A lot of activities going on in this bill. You look at it. It's got DOE, State Board of Education, DJJ. A lot of things going on here. Page 12, just the rulemaking authority. I cannot imagine what that may cost the State Board of Education, the Department of Education, to do. You have to align that with the things in the bill where it's required in the different sections. You know what that is? That's FAC stuff. Public meetings, who knows how many you're going to have to promulgate or implement whatever rule it may be to comply with this bill in the several sections. What number? I cannot fathom what they may cost them. But you would need to know that at some point. And you don't have any numbers here, at least today. Page 11. And that this brings concern to me. Okay. The bill does not appear. To have a fiscal impact. That does not help you either. Either it does have a fiscal or it doesn't. Not iffy. You understand I'm seeing the language appear that, from you making deliberating on this bill today, appear is doesn't help you. In other words, if you look at this and say, okay, if you have some number, you say, okay, we need to fund that. Yes, let's do that. Have some kind of figurative number. If you're really trying to help the kids here, you need to have real numbers. You don't for this large, massive bill dealing with at least four different agencies. I would hope you come up with some real numbers for this bill because this concerns me greatly. I mean, even your staff wasn't helped much to figure out some kind of number. Okay, this is Appropriations Committee, but I wish you the best then. All right.
All right, thank you very much. Mr. Pitts, next up, Thad Lowry with Operation Park. All right, thank you, sir. Next up, Samantha Sexton, Pace Center for Girls.
Chair, Pace Center for Girls, Waiting Court.
All right, thank you. And John Menendez with Department of Juvenile Justice. Okay, great. Thank you very much. And that concludes public testimony. Is there anyone who would like to debate on the bill? Any member of the committee would like to debate? All right, seeing none, Representative Atkins, you recognize to close on your bills.
I'll wave close.
Having waved or closed, Cheryl, would you please call the roll on the bill?
Chairman Keel?
Yes.
Vice Chair Crisafulli?
Yes.
Representatives Albritton?
Yes.
Baxley?
Yes.
Coley?
Yes.
Corcoran?
Yes.
Cruz?
Yes.
Frezen?
Yes.
Forward?
Yes.
Gibbons?
Yes.
Gonzalez?
Yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Hooper?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Ingram?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
McBurney?
Yes.
O'Toole?
Yes.
Pafford?
Yes.
Patronus?
Yes.
Rogers?
Yes.
Roussan?
Yes.
Stafford? Stuby? Thurston?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Young? The bill passes.
All right. Thank you very much. Members, by vote show that bill is passed. And, thank you, Representative Atkins. Representative Frezen, you are recognized to present committee substitute for House Bill 113, discretionary sales surtaxes. You're recognized, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And members, this is the, at this point in this committee, it is the identical bill that we had last year. It essentially allows, and I'll cut right to the chase, it allows for Miami voters in Miami-Dade County in this year's general election in November to vote on the very same issue that we voted on statewide in 2010, which was to allow for a finite period of time, which distinguishes this bill from any other, for a five-year period, if the voters were to vote for it, a five-year period for a half penny in Miami-Dade County for a 90-10 split between Miami-Dade College and FIU for operational for deferred maintenance and facilities in that county. That's the bill, Mr. Chair.
All right, great. Thanks so much, members. Are there any questions? Does anyone have a question for the bill sponsor? Okay, we do have some folks who've turned in cards to testify on the bill. Victoria Hernandez with Miami-Dade College. All right, waving in support. Thank you. I think I missed one. Hold on. Mr. Pitts, you recognize, sir. Mr. Pitts. Oh, waving in support. All right, thank you. And Adrina Piria with Florida International, FIU. Waving support. All right. Thank you very much. Members, anyone who would like to debate the bill? Yes, Representative Pafford, you recognize, sir, in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, I just wanted to make a point of saying that, I supported this bill last year. I'm going to certainly support it this year. But I do think it demonstrates that the state's commitment to education, at least at the state level, state universities, state colleges, we've really got to begin doing a better job. I know revenues are always tight, but I think the state has an obligation to fully fund these type of state settings, university settings and state colleges. So as much as I'm going to support it, I don't think it's a positive policy to begin releasing our responsibility to local taxpayers to help make up for what the state probably should be doing a better job of. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Any further debate? Yes, sir. Representative Gibbons, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to support the bill because we're not asking the state for anything. We're saying that if, in fact, a community wishes to improve or to make sure they properly maintain an institution in their community that serves a public purpose, that they have the right to, in fact, tax themselves in order to do it. And if they, and I think they have that right. And all we're saying is that they have the right to pass a referendum to make an improvement that they think is vital to the health of their community. So I'm all in favor of that, and so therefore I strongly support the bill.
Okay, thank you very much. Representative Grant, you're recognized in debate, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to the sponsor for leading this fight. Members, I do have some concern, and we've seen areas around the state where specific or specified permission, so to speak, from the state to increase taxes may not be consistent with things that we're doing. And so I have committed to the sponsor to continue working with him. I will vote for the bill today, but I think there is some concerns over the precedent we set in putting this body in a posture of continuously trying to determine when it is okay for certain referendums to go on the ballot and others not. And certainly this is a worthy cause when we talk about education, but I look forward to working with the bill sponsor coming out of committee today, but I just wanted to voice those concerns. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thanks. Further debate? Anyone else in debate? Seeing none, Representative Fresno, sir, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would normally wait, but I just had a conversation with Representative Grant, and I absolutely understand his concern, particularly with some of these local referendums for specific things in counties, and I know specifically the one in Hillsborough. I think what distinguishes this one is, A, its finite nature, and I think that distinguishes it from almost every other surtax ever tried to be brought to the legislature. It absolutely sunsets in 5 years and can't be brought up again afterwards. And secondly, because this is something that has already been on a statewide ballot for a statewide purpose, was voted for overwhelmingly in Miami-Dade, but it was attached to a 60% threshold statewide. So it's just that, so I wanted to make that distinction with this bill and others, but I absolutely share his concern and thank him for his comments, and with that I close.
All right, great. Representative Fresno, having closed, Chair, will you please call the roll on the bill?
Chair McKeel?
Yes.
Vice Chair Christofoli?
Yes.
Representatives Albritton?
Yes.
Baxley?
Yes.
Coley? Corcoran? Cruz?
Yes.
Fresen?
Yes.
Bullwood?
Yes.
Gibbons?
Yes.
Gonzalez?
Yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Hooper?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Ingram?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
McBurney?
Yes.
O'Toole?
Yes.
Padford?
Yes.
Petronas?
Yes.
Rogers?
Yes.
Roussan?
Yes.
Stafford? Stuby? Thurston?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Young? The bill passes.
All right, great. Members, by your vote, show that bill is favorably reported. Thank you, Representative Fresen. At this point, we're going to consider the PCB 1402, and I'll turn the gavel over to Vice Chairman Chris Foley.
Thank you, Chairman. You are recognized to present PCB APC 14-02, the Information Technology Governance Bill.
Right. Thanks very much.
There is an amendment, so I guess go ahead and explain the bill, and then we'll get to the amendment.
Yes, if it's okay with you, I'd like to go through the main parts of the bill and get questions on the subject of the bill, and then we'll move to the amendment.
You're recognized to do that.
All right. Members, this bill addresses the need for an IT governance structure in Florida. As we have previously discussed, we have brought you some presentation and information over the last several months as it relates to the state's IT governance challenges, and we have this colorful chart for you on the screen, which I'm going to refer to as I explain sort of how the bill works. On the top of the screen, you can see how we create the Agency for State Technology. The governor would appoint the agency's executive director, with the appointment subject to Senate confirmation. The next two, the rows of circles, with the exception of the one on the second bottom right, shows you the 11 positions that are being created by the bill, and all of these positions would be appointed by the executive director. The bottom row of circles reflects positions that will work to identify IT services that could be standardized and consolidated because the services support business functions that are common across multiple agencies. This function of the new agency is perhaps the biggest difference between this new agency and any of its predecessors. In the boxes to the left are the four administrative positions that are funded by the bill, such as General Counsel and Inspector General. The middle rectangle under the Deputy Executive Director contains the positions which will be responsible for the oversight of large-scale IT projects. You'll remember that this has been the subject of the bulk of the discussion during previous meetings with the large-scale projects. There's a total of 25 FTEs shown on the diagram and that are funded in the bill. The text box to the bottom left outlines the strategic and operational responsibilities of the new agencies, the new agency for the, I can see that the wording is somewhat small, I've also provided this chart in your packets so that you can see it better. The PCB has a Type 2 transfer of the Northwood and the Southwood Shared Resource Centers to the new agency, and it creates a state data center, which you can see in the box under the Chief Operating Officer. Stepping away from the diagram, the bill also clarifies the IT security duties of the new agency and FDLE's cybercrime office, and requires each state agency information security manager to report directly to the agency head for purposes of carrying out his or her IT security duties. It requires the Agency for State Technology to conduct a feasibility study and make recommendations for managing state government data. PCB also provides the following appropriations: $2.9 approximately million dollars in recurring GR, $103,000 in non-recurring GR, and 25 FTE, as I said before, to fund the agency. That is the crux of the bill. Chair, I'd be happy to take any questions members had on the bulk of our change to IT governance.
Yes, Representative Baxley.
Representative Baxley, you're recognized for a question on the bill.
Forgive me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Could you describe what, if any, interface there is? I'm having trouble with this. Beautiful chart is gorgeous, but
a little busy.
I was trying to find the CFO. How does it interrelate with this function of technology?
Chairman, you're recognized. Oh, the CFO, yeah. The cabinet agencies are exempt. It's an executive agency, and there's an exemption for cabinet agencies. But so there's a this is, as you see, this is an agency under the executive and appointed by the governor. But in the law, in the bill, it also says if there are projects over a certain amount that are in that affected agency, they would be coordinated and overseen by the agency. By the new agency. That makes sense?
Okay. Any additional questions? Representative Williams, you're recognized.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative McKeel, do we know what the, I'm trying to look here, might be in here, the FTE that would come along with this this new agency?
Approximately 25. Yep.
There's 20, okay.
Not so approximately, it is 25.
Okay. Follow up?
You recognize.
And can you further explain, I guess, what the oversight role would be? I see we have the yellow boxes out down at the bottom, which represent all the different agencies that fall either under the cabinet. Are these all executive, or are these also cabinet agencies?
These are executive agencies, and these are each one of the bubbles on the bottom, or circles, however you want to call it, on the bottom, is a person that would be with a strategic planning coordinator for that area, lining up generally with the way you do your work here. Obviously, government operations, healthcare, justice,
sure.
Natural resources. So the agencies, the executive agencies that fall under that silo, those projects would be overseen by that person.
Follow up.
You recognize?
How can we, and I think this is a great model, and I'm glad to see us make some movement from last year on this. How do we find the coordination between the other three, the other cabinet officers and their departments or departments under their purview to make sure we have a true cross-state government coordination? I mean, is there some way we can, I know we can obviously put an amendment in, but what would that look like?
Sure, for projects that have multi-agency and meet the threshold that's in there. Again, the bill is focused on projects $10 million and above, so large-scale projects in the state. I mean, the agencies will still have smaller projects that they're working on, but the bill is primarily focused on government and oversight of these larger projects, and if there are multi-agency projects, all the agencies would be involved. There are constitutional reasons for excluding the cabinet because they're constitutionally independently elected, folks.
All right, just one follow-up.
Any further questions on the bill?
One.
You recognize?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And what I'll do, I'll just wait. I'll work with you offline as it moves through the process to work. And I just think there's an opportunity there to, even if we can work through some of the constitutionality issues, to try and bring the other cabinet departments online and see if there's some wins there. Because if we can leverage some of these purchases and some of these spends, there may be a greater savings across the board to the state, i.e. the FLARE project, that may rise to that threshold, But I think there may be some opportunities to just save some more dollars. So I'll work with you offline and
sure.
see what those roadblocks may be. Thank you.
Any further questions? Okay, seeing none, Chairman, you're recognized to explain your amendment.
Okay, the amendment provides that the head of the DMS to be the governor and cabinet and conforms to provisions of the bill which establishes the agency for state technology within the Department of Management Services. I filed the amendment which places the DMS under the control of the cabinet because it's clear to me that the current governance structure at DMS is not working well. You've seen in the last couple of weeks my frustration along those lines. The agency is not responsive to you as a committee or to the legislature, and I believe this amendment may improve their level of cooperation. DMS has actually fractured existing protocols that have worked well for years between the executive and the legislature. I find that fracturing unacceptable, which is why I have filed the amendment. I'd be more than happy to answer any questions. It's occurred to me over the last 12 to 15 hours that I might be able to find a better vehicle for accomplishing this, I may do that. But I'd be happy to answer any questions that you've had about it. As you know, last week I was disappointed and a little bit embarrassed that I brought you a presentation that was incomplete. Hopefully with a structure like I'm proposing in this amendment, we can have a little bit more cooperation.
Members, are there any questions on the amendment? All right, seeing none, we have any public testimony? Chairman, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
At this point, Chair Crisafulli, I think we're going to withdraw this amendment, and I've asked our staff to help me operate and look for alternative vehicles to make this happen. I'll be back in touch with you on this issue as we move forward, but at this point we're going to withdraw that amendment and move to closing on the bill as a whole.
All right, having withdrawn the amendment, members, we're back on the bill. Is there any public testimony on the bill as presented? Seeing none, is there any debate on the bill? Public testimony on the bill? Did you turn in the card? Okay. Yes, we do have the Frank.
Just a little technology.
Yes. You're recognized, yes.
Hi, I'm Frank Miners, and I represent Associated Industries of Florida. And I want to applaud the chairman and the committee for preparing this good bill. We have been through it, even though it's only been out about a week. And we very much think it's a good bill. You know, with a 70-some-odd billion-dollar organization, you've got to have a CIO. I do agree with Representative Williams that, you know, if this is the private sector, you'd put everybody under the CIO. I understand you can't do that. Maybe $50 million is the right number, and I know Flair is a biggie. But we support the bill. The failures in the past, I think, have come from lack of proper or adequate funding for the agency and authority. And I think that's in the bill. So we support it, and we will work with you. And I do have some technical things to bring up that I'll get with staff on as soon as I can.
Thank you, Mr. Miners. Appreciate your testimony. Melanie Brown with Florida Chamber of Commerce. Thank you. And Mr. Brian Pitts, Justice Jesus. Waving in support. All right. With that, members, any debate on the bill from the committee? Representative Williams, you're recognized. You actually had somebody agree with you, so now you're going to talk.
Well, no, I'm actually going to give credit where credit is due. And since Brian Pitts didn't talk, I'm going to take some of his time. I just want to say that, first of all, I think this is the right direction to go. Obviously, we ran into, you know, some hurdles last year with our version and the Senate's version. But having worked with Center for Digital Government and understanding some of the observations that they even made about our lack of a IT direction, I think this puts us in the right position, and hopefully we can push it across the finish line. I do still have some reservations, and I'll work with Chairman McKeel as we continue this process to look at how we can capture some of these other cabinet-level agencies and understand the conflict that arises there. But all in all, I think this is the right direction to go. When you talk about some of these enterprise-level activities that the state takes on, whether it's the the big email system that we tried to do a few years ago, whether there are a number of other IT projects that have been that have occurred throughout the history of Stowe or the technology office or whatever the different iterations of this organization has been. They've been sometimes troubled with too much conflict either at the vendor level or even at the staff level. So I'm hopeful that this legislation will empower this agency to make sure that we have these enterprise-level applications be successful in a way that we can, one, achieve cost savings, but two, gain as much efficiency as possible. And I'm hopeful that this will do that, and I'm proud to support this bill as it is today, but continue to work with the sponsor as we move along.
Thank you for your comments, Representative. Representative Grant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chair McKeel deserves a lot of credit on this because this has been a long time coming. I think there's a lot of us that feel like we have an IT governance structure in the state that the 1980s private sector laughs at. And the changes that are proposed in this bill move us into a place where we can begin really transforming the way we govern when we invest in data and we invest in an infrastructure that that this bill puts out there. And so I think the exciting thing for those of us who are passionate about the data side of things and the boring part of government is that this really does lay the groundwork, and Chair McKeel deserves a ton of credit for laying that groundwork for initiatives that will follow on that truly transform the way we make policy decisions and allow us to really make data-driven decisions in our role. So, Chair McKeel, take just a little bit of time to enjoy it, because I really do believe that this is a fantastic accomplishment on your part, and I know how many walls you've bounced off of in trying to get to this place. And so I would encourage all of you to support this as we begin the process of really kind of bringing Florida's government into some level of parity with how the private sector would operate.
Good comments. Thank you. Any further debate? Representative Baxley, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to add my praise to the chairman on McKeel on this. This is the right time and this is the right place. We have had some embarrassing disappointments in different places and different departments buying IT services that didn't work out. And I have had some heartburn for a long time that we simply didn't have the right organization and planning structure. And I can't imagine a business the size of this business, the state of government, is the largest business in Florida probably, that doesn't have an IT governance structure that can clear all those things. And it's just disappointing how much money we're disappointed about outcomes with simply because we didn't have the right governance structure to ensure that the right things happened. And this is going to be more and more important as we move forward in the information age. I think there should be some collaboration in the future in how this is wired to the other cabinet officers and their agencies so that we can have the right kind of coordination. And IT is such a huge, huge part of our lives and how everything's communicated. But this is a tremendous step forward, the right time, the right place. And I, for one, feel like it's one of the most responsible acts we've taken in a long time. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Members, any additional debate? Being none, Chairman, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Okay, thanks very much. Chairman, thank you for your comments. Representative Grant, I appreciate your comments. I have an affinity for the boring things, too, in our process, and happy to have been helpful. But the truth is that our staff has done a really, really great job. Denise Potvin on our staff, and obviously led by Joanne Lesnoff, they've worked really, really hard. And the reason we got here is because last summer we set our minds to working together and to getting here. So I want to thank your committee staff and Joanne and Denise for all the work that they've done, because this has been a large undertaking. With that, appreciate your favorable consideration.
Sure, if you would, please call the roll.
Chair McKeel?
Yes.
Vice Chair Crisafulli?
Yes.
Representatives Albritton, Baxley,
yes.
Coley,
yes.
Corcoran,
yes.
Cruz,
yes.
Frezen,
yes.
Forward,
yes.
Gibbons,
yes.
Gonzalez,
yes.
Grant,
yes.
Hooper,
yes.
Hudson,
you
Ingram,
yes.
Jones, McBurney,
yes.
O'Toole,
yes.
Pafford,
yes.
Petronas,
yes.
Rogers, Roussan,
yes.
Stafford, Stubbe,
yes.
Thurston,
yes.
Williams, Young. The bill passes.
Members, by your vote, will show PCB APC 14-02 approved. Chairman, gavels back over to you. Okay, thanks. I appreciate all of your time and attention. I know we put a lot of hours into that issue and certainly appreciate your support. If there's nothing else to come before us, Representative Gibbons moves, we rise.